Hi, this is Chris Sorensen. Welcome to Brookville Road Community Church Podcast. If you haven't done so already, please take a moment to check out our website at brookvilleroad.cc for all the latest information about what's going on at Community Church. I hope the following message inspires you to take your next step in becoming a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ. Enjoy. Good morning, church family. So glad that you're worshiping with us today. There's lots of different places you could be, but you chose to be here. Welcome to those that are watching us online. If you live anywhere within driving distance, we would love to have you be a part of the body of Christ here. If you live some distance away, make sure that you're connecting with the body of Christ where you live as well. So this morning, just one more announcement I want to make, a reminder on April 28th at 5 p.m., we're going to get together the elders and some of the staff. We're going to be in here, and we're going to answer questions about the future and where we're going and what we're doing. So we'll talk about the past, the present, and the future. And so this is for anybody who's a leader in the church, anybody who's interested in learning more about the church. We just wanted to give the opportunity of unfolding some of the future in a setting where you can ask some questions. And we'll let the whole church know, but we wanted you to know first. So if you're available, April 28th at 5 p.m., we'll meet back in here. We'd love to see you. Now, if you'd turn in your Bible to the book of Luke, we're working our way through the book of Luke. We're in Luke chapter 6 this morning. And as we go through Luke, this is the Sermon on the Mount. I believe it's the Sermon on the Mount, even though it's a short and condensed version of what we find in the book of Matthew. It follows the same progression. And that sermon that Jesus is giving, he's looking out and he's speaking specifically to his disciples. And he's letting those disciples know who are true disciples and who are false disciples. This is a way for them to know where they stand with Christ. And as he begins this message, he begins to talk about blessings and curses. He says there's a blessing and there's a woe. There's a blessing to true disciples. Those who are blessed are those who are poor in spirit, those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, those who have repented of their sin and are now ostracized by the world. Those are the blessed true disciples. Those who are cursed are those who are rich and happy and satisfied without Jesus Christ. And the world accepts them because they look just like the rest of the world. And then last week, if you were here, we moved on from there and we started to talk about love. And Tyler shared that there is a command of love, there's a cost of love, there's a source of love. We're called to do unto others, right? The golden rule, that's love. We are even to love our enemies. And now moving from this conversation of loving our enemies, there's a couple of verses that tie pretty closely to that. And we pick up where we left off in verse 37. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Jesus says, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." I heard R.C. Sproul say that this is the one passage that every pagan in America knows is in the Bible. Judge not. You can't judge me. Who are you to judge me? Now, this isn't saying that we don't have the opportunity to judge between what is right and what is evil. He's not saying don't use your discernment and know this is right and this is wrong. He's not saying you have to tolerate evil because it would be just so judgmental of you if you spotted evil for what it is. He's not saying you can't call evil evil. The problem in our society many times is people say, "You're judging me," if you simply disagree with them. That's not judging. That's a difference of opinion. If that's the case, then not agreed with by others, they would be judging us. But that's not what Jesus is getting across here. There's something else that Jesus is doing. We realize that judging, in some sense, happens. Like we have judges in our society. A civil society has judges, and you are judged by the judge, and you can't say, "Who are you to judge me?" You can't do that. It doesn't work out that way. So we know there are people who are calling right and wrong. And even in the church, this might surprise some of you, even in the church, we are to judge those in the church. It's always surprising when people realize that 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12 exists. Paul said this, "For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge?" And so there are moments where we say this is right, this is wrong, and there is discipline that goes with that. Now, ultimately, we're not the ultimate judge of other people. We're not the judge of people's salvation. That belongs to God alone. But I do believe what Jesus is saying here, he's addressing this kind of attitude of becoming hypercritical of other people and judging others if they do wrong to us and we hold a condemnation over their head. Remember, we just got done talking about loving our enemies, those who are doing wrong to us, praying for them, and now not holding this sense of judgment hypocritically against them. Instead, what we find here is that we need to be forgiving. We want to be forgiving if we want to receive forgiveness from others. We're to be charitable in our judgment of others. We just got done reading in verse 31, like, do unto others. And we want to have people forgive us. So we need to be forgiving. We need to be charitable with our forgiveness. That idea of charitableness continues to the next verse. Look at verse 38. Jesus says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And so when we go and we ask somebody to forgive us, what we're asking them to do is to give us the kindness of forgiving us, that they wouldn't hold it against us. And so when we go to them and we ask for sincere forgiveness, or somebody comes to us, we want to make sure that we receive mercy from others. And so Jesus is saying, if you want to receive mercy, you need to be quick to give it, especially if you want mercy from your Heavenly Father, because we are going to receive forgiveness in the same way that we've dished out forgiveness. This is what we pray in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. God, forgive me of my sins as I forgive other people who have sinned against me. And so we want to make sure that we don't have an attitude of judgment, of condemnation. We want to be quick to forgive. That's what Jesus is talking about here. If we want to be forgiven by God, we must forgive others. Now, lots of times when we get to this place, we generally say, this isn't a verse or a passage where we just become doormats for others. This isn't an excuse for other people to run roughshod over you, to use you in some way. We've got to be discerning. Jesus isn't saying, well, don't be discerning and just become abused. And he begins to show this in a very unique way as we start to turn a corner a little bit. So there's a change, but yet this is a sense of discernment that we need to have about those who are around us. Because not everybody around us has good motives. Not everybody around us are individuals that we need to follow as they lead certain directions through this life. And so in verses 39 through 45, Jesus starts to highlight and tell his disciples, be very, very careful who you choose to follow. Be careful who you're listening to and the direction that they're taking you. Because in this world, then and now, there are false teachers. There are phonies. There are liars. There are people who would want to lead you astray. And if you end up listening to them and following them, you may wind up in a place far away from God. And these people that you hear who are false teachers, some of them may be very, very sincere. They may not even think or know that what they are saying is false. But just following somebody who is sincere won't get you close to God. It may not get you the place where you need to be, because they can be sincerely wrong if they're on the wrong path and they're teaching the wrong thing. We have to have the right teacher. And so Jesus is telling his disciples, you've got to choose. You've got to choose the religious leaders of this day who are false, or you must choose me and follow me. This is where we pick up in verse 39, right? So we're turning just a little bit here. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that's in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Now, in just a moment, I'm going to highlight and show that Jesus here is speaking about the Pharisees and the scribes. He's talking about people who are false teachers of his day, and we'll look at that. But so many times, Jesus will use parables and illustrations to get across his point. He's doing that here. Verse 43, he says, for no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And so for the disciple, this leads us to ask the question, what spiritual teacher are we following? Who are we following? There is no shortage of false teachers in the world, then or now. There's no shortage of false religions and false systems. Scientology, Mormonism, Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, any human philosophy that begins to set itself up as the truth and the way apart from Christ, that's not a true disciple. That's not a true teacher. A true disciple of Jesus Christ follows his words and his words alone. Not all roads lead to God. If you follow the teachings of these different religions, they end up in a place that is different than what Christianity declares. And Jesus says, you need to be a true disciple. And he's already kind of given us this framework in which we can determine, am I truly a follower of Jesus? He said, a true disciple is one who is repentant. They've recognized they're poor in spirit. They're hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And out of that, they have come to God and asked for repentance. And now they're alienated from the world because they aren't following the kingdom of the world. They're following the kingdom of God. And then he goes on and he says, you'll know you're a true disciple when you start to behave differently and you live differently than the rest of the world. And you start to forgive your enemies and you love your enemies and you pray for your enemies. And he says, as a disciple, you're a lifelong learner. You're a lifelong student. And who you listen to, it matters. Will they point to Christ? Because he is the true rabbi. He is the true teacher. And so there's this ongoing learning that you and I are to have. And Jesus tells his disciples who they follow matters, and they got to make the choice. They can follow him or they can follow the false teachers of the day. Jesus is just driving home this point that following false teachers is going to get you to a place that you don't want to be. And so he tells these different illustrations. And so there's four of them. The first one, if you're taking notes, he says, here's how you can spot somebody who's a false teacher. A false teacher is blind. They're blind to the truth. False teachers are blind to the truth. And when Jesus goes through these different illustrations, I think he's having a particularly saucy day as he shares these, because there's sarcasm, and yet there's some humor attached here as well. He says this, can a blind man lead a blind man? So they're picturing this. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? So if you follow somebody who doesn't know the way to God, you're going to wind up in the pit of hell. This is where you end up. A false teacher, they are blind to the truth. How are they going to lead anybody to the truth when they're blind to the truth themselves? And this would be a very clear visual representation for the people who are listening, because there were a lot of people in that day and age who were blind. They didn't have the same common grace that we have of all these doctors, ophthalmologists, people who were taking care of our eyes. There were lots of blind people at the time. And also, this was a time where they didn't have the same ADA rules that we have. Like, we got barriers and signs everywhere, right? We don't want people to trip. We want them to be careful. We set up all these guardrails. In that day and age, they didn't have that. And this is a rocky area. There's lots of caves. There's lots of wells. And so they would know very clearly what's going to happen if a blind man is leading a blind man. If somebody doesn't know how to get to God's kingdom and you follow them, you won't wind up where Christ is. It was true then, it's true now. There's plenty of false religions. There's plenty of false teachers that are out there that want to lead you astray. And as I say that, some of you might think, well, the reason that Christians say that, the reason that churches say that, is because they want to hold on to power. They want to control people. I don't want to control you. I'm not trying, a true church isn't trying to control you or manipulate you. We're just waving a sign that says, there's a pit. We're trying to save you. We're pointing you to the truth. It's totally up to you. We're not here to manipulate you, to force you, to have you do anything other than repent and turn to Christ and have life. This is what I want for you, life. We're not here to manipulate, but there are false teachers who are here to manipulate. So Jesus here, he's talking about these false teachers who are blind, and specifically at that moment, it's the Pharisees. And I say that because of other places where he just comes right out and says it. Let me read this to you. It won't be on the screen. This is Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. It says, then the disciples came to Jesus and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? So Jesus had made a point about these false teachers, and, you know, he probably didn't have the right tone, and they didn't like it, and he was very direct, and you know how offensive that is. And Jesus said this, let them alone, the Pharisees, let them alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. Matthew 23:26. He looks at a Pharisee and he says, you blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean. So here the Pharisees and the scribes, they are these blind guides to the truth. And Jesus sets himself up antithetically to them. And he says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. He's saying, I'm the only way. You can take other paths, but they're not going to lead to the Father. The only path and the only way to eternal life and back to your creator, your maker, Jesus says, is through me. Later, Jesus would say that if you want to walk out of the darkness, you're going to have to follow him. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness. And so if you want to leave the darkness of this world and the darkness of a soul separated from God, you look to Jesus Christ, who is the light, and you begin to follow him. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the light of the world. Other ways, false teachers, leading people astray. So that's the first thing. They're blind to the truth. The second thing is this. False teachers, they're limited and they're sinful. False teachers are limited and sinful. Now, we got to be honest here, and we have to say, actually, all teachers are limited and sinful. All teachers fall short. All human teachers are not God, and they don't have a corner on every bit of truth. All teachers are sinful, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That includes every teacher other than Jesus Christ, the one true rabbi, the one true teacher who is sinless. But every teacher, especially false teachers, they are limited and they are sinful. This is what he said in verse 40. A disciple, so a learner, is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. So you're not going to rise above your teacher. And every human teacher is fallible. Apart from God and God's truth, the best thing that any human teacher can offer is just their own ideas, their own human wisdom. That's it. That's the lid. And any teacher can only tell you what they know. So you're not going to learn more than the teacher knows. And if that's all they know is what they know and they don't know the one true God, well, then you're in a world of trouble. And he says here, when you're fully trained, whether you're following a false teacher or the teacher, Jesus, when you're fully trained, you're going to be like them. And in Jesus' day, the way that the teachers were teaching, the way that you were discipled is, you would just go throughout the day with your teacher. You get with the teacher in the morning and you just go through life. You'd eat meals together. This is how Jesus is teaching his disciples. You walk along the road and you're learning as you do life. That's how they were being discipled. Every teacher was doing that, going through real life experiences. And so the teacher is reproducing themselves in the other individual. You're kind of watching and modeling and observing, and then you begin to live like that. That's why it's so important for us as parents that we're paying attention to how our children are being taught, what they're learning. And there's so many opportunities that our kids are learning and being discipled by the world. And it's just all around us, right? We've got a television, we have radio, we have the internet, we have school systems. And sometimes it seems like it's more indoctrination centers than it is about learning truth. And so we always have to be careful. So we're always on our toes as parents. And that's why as the church, we want to come alongside you and encourage you. You're discipling your kids. You're teaching them. You're walking through life. And as you go through life with your child, you're able to point these things out. This is how I've tried to disciple my daughter, Shelby, is just like you go through life and you're like, you make a point like, there, see? Don't do that. That's why the Bible says that. Or, hey, look at this. That's why you do that. And you do that enough times, eventually what you're going to hear is what I've been told over and over. Dad, you're always making a point. Yes, that's the point. We're going through life and I'm making a point so that you know how to walk, so that you know how to live, so that you can look more and more like Jesus Christ. If you come from the school of thought that says, well, I'm not gonna force anything on my kids. I'm gonna let them find God on their own. That's a mistake. They're not going to stumble their way into faith. You teach them the truth. If you love Christ and you love your child, let them know the truth. And we want to walk with you through that. Your model. And we're not perfect as parents, not a one of us in this room. And even in that, we can say, well, don't look at me. Well, I got it wrong here. Look to Christ. This is why it's so important that we have Jesus, so that me as a parent, I can ask your forgiveness and I can ask forgiveness from God, and we can start over and we can do it again. This is how we model. This is what Jesus was doing. This is discipling. If you follow Jesus, you can become like him. False teachers, they only offer human wisdom, human philosophy, their own opinions and thoughts, their own ethics. And if you follow somebody like that, you might adopt their behavior and you might look like them, but they're limited. They're sinful. But if you look to Jesus as your teacher, you allow him to transform you from the inside out. He will take you where you need to be. So false teachers, they're blind to the truth. They're limited and sinful. And the next one is false teachers are hypocrites. This one we know. False teachers are hypocrites. If you drop down and you get down to verse 42, it says this. Jesus says, how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that's in your eye when you yourself don't see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. So these false teachers can't fix you because they can't fix themselves. They can't fix themselves. False teachers can't conquer their own sin, their own shortcomings. And so a false teacher is then forced to just simply hide their weaknesses and their wickedness. And so they're always pretending. They're always making themselves out to be something that they're not. This happens even in church world, right? Even in Christianity, where you got some leader and they're making a caricature of perfection for themselves, and they got to keep that up. And it's impossible to keep that up because none of us are perfect. And so you get this terrible system where you just keep pretending and pretending, and nothing is real and nothing is honest and nothing is true. And so Jesus is giving this very funny visual image. He says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye? That word speck is karphos in the Greek. And karphos means chip, like a wood chip, right? So this isn't like a little speck. This isn't like an eyelash or a little bit of dust. This is like, oh, you got a wood chip in your eye. That looks like it hurts, all right? So the religious, the false teacher comes along and says, well, let me take that speck out. Let me lead you to God. Meanwhile, he has a dokos in his eye. That's the Greek word for log, beam, dokos. It's a funny word, but it's like the main beam of a building. This is like a 2x6 rafter sticking out of the other guy's eye. Right? I mean, this is funny. Like, you see the picture, right? Jesus is the original meme maker, right? So you see this picture, and you're like, well, this is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. So the false teacher's trying to fix somebody else. They can't fix themselves. They're in a bigger mess. You can't deal with what's wrong in somebody else when you're more messed up. And so a false teacher, really all they could say is, you know, do as I say, not as I do. Jesus comes along and he says, do as I say and do as I do. He's the true teacher. A false teacher, they can't fix their own flesh. They can't fix their sin nature. Only Jesus Christ can do that. The best thing that a false teacher can do is just simply virtue signal. Keep trying to hide. Right? This is anybody who isn't humble enough to say, I have a log in my eye. I have an issue. I have a problem, and it's big, and it's called sin. And I need a savior. And so anybody who is prideful and wants to continue to be a hypocrite just goes throughout this life, and all they do is just keep pretending. They keep acting. And the world is filled with hypocrites. It's not just people in the church. People in this world are hypocrites. So the best they got is virtue signal. Find some other thing outside of themselves and look at that over there. That's bad. Don't look in here. Look at that thing. That's bad. And the louder they scream and the more controlling they get, the more insecure they are at the fact that they can't fix themselves. And they refuse. They refuse to repent. They refuse to come to Christ and let him take the log out of their eye. And it's not as if a true disciple has a log in their eye. The true disciple, remember, they repent. I am a sinner. I need a savior. And Christ comes along and he takes that dead life and he breathes life into it. So that now we have a righteousness that doesn't come from ourselves and we can see clearly. And we can see when somebody else has a problem. And we can come alongside and say, well, don't look to me, look to Jesus Christ. He removed the log in my eye. And he can do the same for you. People who aren't humble don't see a need for forgiveness. There's a big log in their eye, blinding them to that. But they sure can look out the other eye and find all kinds of problems with others and say, boy, you've got issues. False prophets, they're blind to the truth. They're limited and sinful. They're hypocrites. These false teachers become adept at covering up, right? They're pretending. They're an actor. That's what the word hypocrite means. They're an actor. Nothing's true. There's a lack of understanding. I think this is dangerous even for any disciple. Even maybe you're in the same place where I am, where sometimes I just ask, like, am I really a Christian? Do I really know the Lord? Am I self-delusional? Have I gotten so good at acting that I'm just even convincing myself of something that may not be true? This is why I've got to come to the Lord. I've got to be like, God, just like Psalm 139 when David says, search me. Search me. Search my heart. Search my life. Search my motives, God. See if there be any wicked way in me. And God, if you find it there, would you break me to the point where I bring this before you and I confess it, not in a way so that I might look good to others, not in a way that I might prop myself up so that I might just be better in my own flesh and be stronger in my life and more capable. I have to continually come to this place where I say, is this about me or is this really about the Lord and him living his life through me? So my prayer becomes, God, like I don't want like a big crowd of people. I don't need people to remember my name. I'm not going to be remembered. Christ, I want you remembered. God, less of me, more of you. Hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. Friend, this is what Christ wants to do in your life, to remove every bit of you pretending to come into a church or before other Christians and just try to look good. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and come before him and say, you have made me, you have created me, you know me. I can't hide this from you. I have never been able to hide my sins, so I come before you. And I ask that you would transform me from the inside out so that I might be genuine and not some kind of fake poser. Change me and let it be real. The false teacher, blind to the truth, limited and sinful, hypocrite. And then finally, he says, false teachers, well, they're evil. Verse 43, no good tree bears bad fruit. Nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. So those false teachers, they're reproducing what is evil. They're reproducing those things that are bad, that are dysfunctional, that are toxic, that are harmful. Jesus makes this really clear, this language in Matthew again, in Matthew 7. Let me read this to you. There's a statement about false teachers. He says this, Matthew 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. They look good. They sound good. They're charismatic. They prop themselves up. But they're ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Then again in Matthew 12, verse 34, he says this, to the Pharisees, you brood of vipers, you bunch of snakes. How can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person, out of his good treasure, brings forth good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil. So a good disciple, a good person, what's happened is they have a changed heart. They have a cleansed heart. They have a regenerated heart. They have a new heart. An evil man, an evil person does not. And so you have to be very, very careful, Jesus says, about who you're following. Be careful about who your teacher is. They will lead you astray. If you follow the wrong voice or the wrong voices, you'll fall into a pit. Jesus is saying, follow me. I know the way. I am the way. Follow me. I know the truth. I am the truth. Jesus says, follow me. I know what real life is because I am the life. Come out of darkness. I am the light of the world. Jesus says, be careful who you follow. And he is the antithesis of what a bad teacher is. Because Jesus is the only one who has clear sight. He is sinless. He is true. And he alone is righteous. And when we give our life to that teacher, he comes inside of our lives through the person of his Spirit and changes us from the inside out. Not from our own works, not from our own energy or trying to make ourselves better and good and look good to others, but a transformation from the inside out. Let me ask you, do you know your Maker? Do you know that it is the Lord who has made you? You have not made yourself. You are not an accident. The God of heaven and earth has created you and made you and put a spirit on the inside of you. Do you know the truth about the good news? Do you know the fact that you are separated from God because of sin? We're all in that place when we come into this world. Do you know that is true? And do you know that Christ has come, born of a virgin, God himself, God in the flesh, the one who is the creator of the world, and out of love went to a cross and died there in your place? He shed his own blood. He died in a place where you should have died. Do you realize and know that he rose from the dead? And not just simply do you know those things, have you done something with it? Have you taken that knowledge and that realization and come before the maker of this world and say, I need you. I need a relationship with you because I've never been able to make it through this life on my own, and I am done pretending and I am done doing this without you. If you've never made that decision, you could decide in a moment, I'm gonna follow that teacher. I'm gonna follow my Maker. I'm gonna give him my life. Let's pray. You could pray a very similar prayer that many people for centuries now have prayed. It's just a simple yes to God. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. I thank you that you died on the cross in my place. You paid a debt that I would never be able to pay off. I thank you that you rose from the dead. You're now alive. I've heard your whisper, and I come to you now. And I pray, Lord, that you would transform me, that you would change me from the inside out, that I wouldn't have to continue to struggle through this life in my own strength and my own energy, trying to make you pleased out of just my good works. But I yield to you, and I ask that you would live your life in me, through me. I belong to you. And so I come to you now. As best I know how, I'm gonna continue to learn from you, Lord Jesus, my rabbi, my teacher. Father, would you continue to just pour your truth into my heart and into my mind. And in those places in my life, when I fail, when I fall, when I sin, I pray, Father, that you just pick me up and that I would come back to you in repentance, once again, experiencing and knowing your love and your care for me as my heavenly Father. I'm yours. Father, for those who have heard your whisper, who have felt that tug in their heart to stop pretending to be an authentic, true disciple, Lord, would you lead them and guide them, give them a passion for your word, a passion for worshiping you, a passion to allow Christ to live his life through them. Please do that for me. Do that for all of us. We submit to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Once again, thanks for listening. If you live in the area and are looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us at one of our weekend worship services. For service times and information about BRCC, be sure to check out brookvilleroad.cc. God bless you.